Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're about 40 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining me. RadioRealEstate.com. You could get the podcast, see what you listened, missed. So I ended the prior break with saying the best way to acquire property is to inherit property because of the tax base, not property tax, but the basis of a house. Because when you sell it and you make a profit, you have to pay capital gains. There's exceptions. If you're married and you've lived there a certain amount of time, met the criteria, the first $500,000 of capital gain is excluded. Single person, $250,000. Used to be that if your spouse died, that you had to sell within maybe the same calendar year. There was a time restriction, and they ended up extending that. I don't remember what it is, but they didn't want to force a spouse who just lost their spouse to, hey, sell the house so you can still get the $500,000 capital gain exclusion. So hopefully you won't be in that position, but if you are, you want to check with your CPA to see what that new time frame is. So I read Liz Weston. She's a certified financial planner, and I learned something. Someone wrote in about a question that was answered about a mother who gave her home to her two children shortly before she died. And the writer says, you wrote that when a home is gifted, the recipients also get the original owner's tax basis. Thus, there is no stepped up in tax basis at death, which is why that expression, the best way to acquire property is to inherit property, because then the tax basis, if your parent or whomever bought a house for $100,000 and now it's worth $2 million, it stepped up to the current market value, the basis of $2 million. So that when you sell it, you don't pay the capital gains on it from the original tax basis. So this person wrote in and said, you know, rightly so, that when a home is gifted, the recipients get the original tax basis. So you don't always want to do that. But the writer said, however, if the mother continued to live in the home that she owned and gifted to the two children and didn't pay any rent, an argument could be made. Now you're already in trouble. When you say an argument could be made, that means maybe you could lose the argument. An argument could be made that it wasn't a real gift and the home should be included in her estate at death. Then the children can get the stepped-up basis and not owe capital gains when they sell. So she answered, and she's a certified financial planner, and she quoted the estate tax experts at Walters Kluwer tax research firm agree that per an IRS code, if the mother continued to live in the house, assuming that there was an express or implied agreement between the mother and the children that she would live in the home rent-free until her death, then the fair market value of the home could be included in the gross estate and the children would receive a stepped-up basis at the mother's death. Similar argument could be made if the mother had just added the children as joint tenants and continued to live rent-free in the home until death. Making such arguments to the IRS might require hiring knowledgeable tax and legal help, however. Plus, adding children to home deeds can create problems. Children's creditors can go after the house, transfers, complicate Medicaid eligibility. It would be much more cost-effective to get tax and legal advice before changing a home's deed than to hope your heirs prevail against the IRS. So, although this little bit of trivia is true, and maybe if you've already received a house from a parent and your parent has been living there rent-free, maybe you have a shot. But certainly, the advice would not be to make that your plan. That's the advice of a financial planner, not a realtor you're listening to on the radio. You don't want to take tax and legal advice from a realtor. I do want to, and I don't have time to tell you about the Grudge House. We're going to miss out on that. How much time do I have? 2 minutes? You know what? I'm going to do it. A silver-thin house in Beirut was built in 1954, the ultimate display of how siblings' annoyance can go. Known as the Grudge, or Al-Basa in Arabic, it's just over 13 feet wide and 2 feet at its narrowest. And a side view, the house built out of brotherly spite, looks more like a wall. But it's habitable and supposedly the skinniest building in the city. Two brothers inherited land from their father. They couldn't decide how to split the land between them, a dispute complicated further by one part of the property had been cut over the years, leaving a portion in an odd shape. One brother decided to take that small, odd-shaped bit of land and build on it, constructing a building that fit the confines of the land with the added bonus of blocking his brother's ocean view. Not only would his brother not be able to enjoy a spectacular sea view, but because he was now facing what essentially a wall, his values would sink too. The perfect plan. Over the years, there's been tenants in the house that siblings rivalry built, that this house was built by the sibling rivalry. Each floor contains two apartments. For years, it was used as a brothel and once served as a refuge for family fleeing war. Today, the house stands as a reminder of a long-ago feud, and it probably will for a very long time. Current city zoning laws state that the plot is too small to build on, so making the land more profitable with the house on it than without it. And I imagine maybe put in the deed, they said you can't ever sell it, or you can't ever sell it to the family that's blocking the view, so the spite can continue. I suppose, however, if it burned down, I wonder if they would allow an as-built, because now you can't build that property. But that's a twisted tale, the Grudge House in Beirut, Lebanon. Okay, we fit it in. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.